So I don't know if I'll ever forget the feeling of that pit in my stomach, that absolute terror and adrenaline when some kid is like, oh, it's all good, I'll see you after school. Some sort of altercation happened, and maybe even it was an accident. Point is, it's going down. The only question is, am I going to have to face this fool by myself? Hood politics.
Hey, it's so hood right now. Hood politics, y'all.
Yo, yo, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Hood Politics. It's called Clicked Up. I want to help you understand what a ally is as far as nation states go. Foreign policy. It's a big term. People running for what are your stance on foreign policy? That's like the most complicated question you could be asked. We want to lay it all out. But first, you're sweating because it's fifth period. And maybe everybody saw at school, all the homies, everybody, even not the homies, all saw you kind of like get into this situation with the big homie over there. That the point is, you're going to have to throw hands very soon. The onlyest question you should be asking yourself is, which one of you niggas that ride with me every day is going to jump in? And can y'all throw hands? Like, if you ain't got no hands, I really don't need your help. Throw hands as in, can you fight, right? I'm also concerned as to which, how many of his friends is going to jump in. Are we going to just be able to square up? Is this just going to be me and him? Or are you going to bring all your squad? If you're going to bring your squad, I didn't know I'm going to bring my squad, and we're going to rumble.
Clicked up.
Rumble. We're going to have a rumble. Who says rumble? You need to know who going to help out if things go down. At the end of the day, foreign policy since post-World War II, actually, World War I. Who going to jump in if we fighting? Now, as for me and my house, I'm a buck 50 soaking wet. And I have been for many years. I've been blessed with them East African genes. I'm literally the same weight I was when I was in high school. I mean, I've tried to gain weight. It just don't work. So I'm the type that know, look it, I got no delusions of grandeur. I'm not finna, everything for me is asymmetrical warfare because I can't square up with none of these fools. I don't know how many punches I could take. I take no pride in that. So for me, I'm not waiting till after school. I'm sliding in. I'm figuring out who you got for fifth period. I'm finna run over there and be like, talk to the teacher. Oh, hey, Miss Gutierrez says she needed to borrow one of your dictionaries. And I'm a good student. I'm an honor roll student. I'm just a little art nerd. I just be out here. I'm not involved in the gang life. Look, I'm a nice kid. So all I'm gonna do is go head over there, grab that dictionary, and just happen to walk by this fool's desk. And then whoop, pow, and just break this fool's jaw in front of everybody with the dictionary because I'm not waiting till after school. I'm not giving you a chance to jump me, and I'm not giving you a chance to let me get my behind kicked in front of everybody. I'm not like that. I'm at lunch. I'm finding your lunch table, and I'm breaking your face with one of the trays because you see how little I am? It ain't gonna be fair anyway. I'm not wasting time. And then what happens is maybe I get suspended for a couple days, maybe even a couple weeks. All I know is the whole school know that little skinny boy right there. Look, he's a civilian. He ain't really part of all this stuff. But I tell you what, he ain't no easy come up. That boy fight back. He got hort, like the old fools would say. I'm from LA, so hort, we say heart. Like, you got pork the core, you know what I'm saying? You got pork the core around the corner, homie. Hey, little nigga got hort. That is so LA. Please know I'm not condoning any of these actions. So don't do this. One thing we all know is that just because y'all both Crips don't mean you get along. Just because y'all all Bloods don't mean y'all get along. There could be some sort of thing that happened maybe even to your older brothers and your older sisters, that now that y'all are old enough, now that y'all are in high school, you learn that you and your two neighborhoods actually don't get along. You may not even know. The thing was so interesting about inner city life is almost all of us went to the same Head Start program. We was in the same, we had the same babysitters. We was in the same free and reduced lunch program. We went to the same elementary school. Hell, the same church, the same youth group. You know what I'm saying? We was in the same children's choir because that's how complicated inner city life is. Same vacation Bible school. The church I went to, I mean, I'm not going to name no names, but like, I mean, our Sunday school teachers, they kids was active. Just didn't nobody know it, you know, and then maybe went off to different middle schools and now we in high school and your recruitment happened when you was in middle school. So now all of a sudden you banging that set, I'm banging this set, or I'm not banging that set. I'm just affiliated over here because this is where we from, because that's where my brother did. Now we got beef. Or sometimes the other way around happens. Maybe some of the OGs went off to jail, or happened to share a cell block, ended up becoming friends in prison. And then the word comes back down to the city that like, hey, we squashed the beef at the OG level. So y'all cool. Y'all stop shooting at each other. Maybe somebody missed that memo and then acts upon some sort of old beef that you ain't know about. And then now these two sets got problems. Or maybe there was some sort of other situation that happened. Maybe the Russians moved in and the Russians are now controlling the flow of the narcotics or the pills into the city. So now all of a sudden, this historical beef that happened over some sort of party, you hit on the wrong old lady, now it seems trivial because all of y'all are out of business by these Russians. Or you done messed up. This is one of my favorite ones. Or you done messed up thinking that the Mexican dudes, the Cholos, were to connect because the Cholos had to plug with Mexico and the cartels and mafia and stuff because they was carrying the weight from across the border. You run up to homeboy. It turns out homeboy you run up to ain't a part of the Mexican mafia. He actually Maltrucha. That fool El Salvadorian. You don't know no difference. You just a nigga from the hood. They both speak Spanish. I don't know. You done stepped into a situation you ain't know nothing about. Now all of the sudden, now you got problems with the vatos. These networks of connections among hoods are very hard to navigate, and they change every 5 to 10 years. You don't know. You just gotta know how to navigate it. Now, what that got to do with politics? This is trying to understand how the modern nation states, how they relate to other nations. And how does an administration sort this out? Cabinet members. This is why cabinet membership is so important in the way that you select them. You got to have some shrewd cats up out this mug who understand the lay of the land, understand what's been happening all over the world. What's so unique about America is we're changing our entire government every 4 to 6 years. It's like brand new president, maybe brand new chiefs of staff. It's enough to keep another nation really unbalanced. You gotta like, there's no guarantee that America is going to jump in just because we said we would jump in 4 years ago. So if you making your plans, you another country trying to make your plans and you counting on America's guns, America's money, America's trade, yo, you got to be careful. You don't know who the new president going to be. So of course, a country that got like, consider us competition, you know, you kind of like, I kind of got a stake into who actually win this thing. Because you might be messing up my bag. Or if I get a new guy that decides the old dude was too soft on you, or on me. I mean, this got a lot of implications. You may declare war. It's kind of like, it's a little, you know, like you can't really make no plans about your own future if you don't know this trigger happy country where there's more guns than humans, you feel me, might decide they don't like you no more. Like, that's kind of a hard situation to be in. Or they may decide they love you now. So you start like, we good? And then you just kind of like, man, I hope this dude get reelected because I want to stay good with y'all. Like, ain't we making money? Ain't we, you know what I'm saying? Ain't we doing this? From the American side, you know, you have to be fully aware that the other country don't know about the jockeying and the inner attitude. We speak of nations as if they're monoliths. You know, China, everybody in China think like this. Everybody in Russia think like this. Everybody in Iran think like this. Do everybody in America think like, quote unquote, this? No, like we don't all agree. Matter of fact, that's the one thing we agree on is the fact that don't none of us like our government and don't none of us agree as to how to handle stuff outside of our borders as it relates to like, are we going to protect them? What are we going to let them? Are we going to let them sell on our blocks? We're going to charge y'all, which is a whole other conversation, a whole other episode we're going to do on tariffs. Which is really fun because ultimately that's like, you got to pay me to sell on my block. It's kind of extortion, but extortion that's legal. All my libertarians in the house, taxes. Taxes are extortion. Anyway, it's a scary thing. So you really need people that not finna be in there into these meetings being a hothead. You can't have somebody just walk in here. It's already tense, especially when you're like a new administration. You got to prove who you are. Don't get it twisted, dog. I can throw hands, but let's make this money. You feel me? Let's get this bread going. You know, maybe I don't like the situation we had before. Y'all making too much money off us. Or the other way around where you like, hey, look here. I don't feel like we making enough on this situation. I don't like how this is going down. You need somebody in your cabinet that's not finna be kind of angling for himself or herself. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is a difficult thing to really figure out. And you got to have access to all these other behind closed doors things because, again, you don't know what's been discussed before you was there. You don't know what the OGs was talking about. You don't know what side deals have been being set up. You don't know. But if none of this stuff makes sense, let me make it as simple as this. The lunch tables. Dead serious. Middle school and high school, one of the most, you understand, that first week of school, one of the most important things to do is figure out where you gonna sit at the lunch tables. Because it say a lot about you. And I honestly remember, and I think every school had this, you could survey the whole subcontinent of your high school based on where people were sitting for lunch. For us, we had a thing called Prep Hill. On the hill, it was like we had this like sloping staircase that were kind of like extended. On the hill, that was like the ASB kids, the quote unquote popular. For us, it was like those were the white kids. Of course, they weren't just white kids, but it was like whiteness. They was just preppy. You know what I'm saying? That's what we used to call it back then. They fancy. They got a little more than us, right? There was the Asian tables. That's where all the Pinoys and Filipinos, where they all hung out. Most of my school of Asian squad was Filipinos. So you sprinkle in a few other type of Asians. But anyway, they all kind of blended into the Filipino population. We had a section under the awning by the multi-purpose room where the Tongans and the Samoans kind of hung out, but mostly Tongans. You had one side of the table with like all the Latino, like the Mexican dudes. And then there was the other lunch tables where the black people were, right? So we just, you know, and then there was like the sports fools. There was this hip hop section where we would just kind of freestyle. Well, I remember we used to go to like, our teacher used to let wrestling room with all the wrestling mats. We'd go in there and teach ourselves how to flare and windmill and we would have battles and such. But like you navigated the school based on the lunch tables and where you sat told us everything we needed to know about who you with. And who gonna jump in if ever there's a problem? I went to a rather tumultuous school, although it was multi-ethnic. We had some serious race riots. We had to figure out who was on whose side. And it started among like them Tongan hoods and them Latino hoods. So us black folks, we had to make a calculation of like, I don't know, man, them Pacific Islanders, them niggas don't feel pain. I don't think you ever want to be on the side of the wrong side of no Tongan niggas. Obviously, I don't think like this anymore, but at the time we had to make a calculation. Who who we gonna throw our lot in? Because let me tell you what I don't want to do. I am not trying to catch no Pacific Islander fist to my jaw. I just don't understand why y'all are as strong as you are. I'm not trying to get into no like phrenology or genetics. I don't know. All I know is, you know what? I can talk about my brother-in-law. My brother-in-law is half poly, half black. This don't make no doggone sense why strong you are. My homeboy Tadashi, I can name Tadashi. Tadashi do music with me, one of my homeboys. Flo and Samoan. I don't get why you're so strong. I'm way off the rails here. The point is, we had to decide where you going to sit for lunch, because that's going to tell us, you going to communicate to the whole school what your situation is and how all of it's going to work out. In the same way in the hood, how navigating this stuff costs actual lives. These aren't abstract ideas, what an ally is. Like, the cost of these things going wrong are in actual deaths. A good sort of case study would be World War One. Now, for all you non-history nerds, let me put you on game. So Archduke Franz Ferdinand, not the band. I say, don't you know? You say you don't know. That song was a bop. I don't care what y'all say. But Archduke Franz Ferdinand was assassinated by this kid, right, named Gavrilo Princip. Right. He was a member of this like Bosnian, like Serbian nationalist group who was trying to unite the territories around like ethnic Serbs under like Serbian control. It's just, think of it as like, you know, how we have like serious race problems here. They had them then, too. They were just much more ethnic than white supremacists. It's always weird for me to, as a black man, watching like white ethnic groups beef with each other and call each other less white than any other. Like there's like Russian white supremacists because other Russians ain't white enough. It's the strangest thing I've ever seen. Anyway, because white is a social construct. So he was the Archbishop of Austria-Hungary. So they was furious, right? Now, Austria-Hungary, this is World War One. They clicked up with Germany. Germany right now feeling froggy because remember, Germany been trying to take over Austria-Hungary for a while. You know, Kaiser Wilhelm and them. Like, nigga was hungry. You feel me? Like, he was like, yo, man, y'all looking like an easy come up. The problem is Russia got Serbia's back. And Russia, I don't think people understand, first of all, the landmass that Russia is. Like, it's, Russia is freakishly big. And at the time, they military, cuz them fools be marking. But Germany ain't no slouch, too. Germany was throwing hands back then, dog. Like, throwing real hands. Like, we ain't never seen no military like Germany. Y'all got to remember, them niggas almost won. You know what I'm saying? But Austria-Hungary got this stuff. Germany jump in. But if Germany jump in, that mean Russia jumping in. And if Russia jump in, that mean these people jump in. And if these people, that mean those people jump in. Eventually, whole Earth jumped in. Except for Africa, we was chilling. I don't know what they problem. Woo! We was like, look, it's good. Just give us a second. Leave us alone. And you know what I'm saying? Dang, y'all fight amongst each other. That's speculation. The point is, all these countries jump in, and it's because of how the allied networks work out, right? Like, you can't just be hitting on my homeboy like that. We got this understanding here. In a past episode, we talked about like all the fuckery we did back in the Middle East. And at some point, we got to revisit that. We got to talk about how the Iran-Contra scandal and how that dead ass leads right into the crack attack. I know Snowfall, the show on FX, is about that, but like they not really. The story is more about Saint, it's Freeway Rick is who Saint is based on. But like the story is more about him, not necessarily the politics around it. Like we really got to get into how crack got on our streets because of the CIA. But all of that, again, is about being clicked up. Ultimately, Reagan and him was worried about, quote unquote, communism spreading in the Americas because you're going to fuck up the money. So we need to make sure the money don't get fucked up. Anyway, whole other thing. Y'all remember Bashar al-Assad when he was gassing his own folks in Syria? I think I gave this example in the introductory episode. That's exactly what I'm talking about. Trump out here running with shooters, You can't say shit. You got to jump in. You can't jump in because you clicked up with his click. You can't say nothing. All this stuff is like, it's all confusing. Now, before Trump was around, before Trump was trying to like, you know what I'm saying, click up with Russia, when we was more like, look, kick rocks, Russia. Like, y'all need to get this shit together because like, I don't trust y'all. You don't trust us. We got some long running beef, and this beef been running for, even if it was a misunderstanding, nigga, like, it got too hot. I don't play with y'all. You stay out of our way, we stay out of yours. Trump kind of gummed all that up. And in the middle of that, Bashar al-Assad was like, wow, gas my own people. But the network, too, is too complicated. You feel me? Wow. Lastly, I want to talk about how this stuff plays out, even not in just like big old wars, but in real cultural moments, and why it's important to understand how this foreign policy works. The assassination of Jamal Khashoggi. So Jamal Khashoggi, this happened last year, and that event like started a string of other events that really capture not only what happens in the streets, but also what happens in the government. So Jamal Khashoggi was popped in Turkey at the embassy out there in Istanbul. And the thing is, like, we're good with Turkey. And he was, and what we think happened, and it's, we have good reason to think this, is that the Crown Prince Mohammed al-Saman like green lit this nigga. It's like the worst kept secret in the world that like the Crown Prince and they family out in Saudi, they shoot and have no problem taking out dissonance. But it get real sticky because we supposed to be good with Saudis. What you supposed to do? But it's a big deal once you start shooting journalists because it says a lot more about like how you feel about the press and being able to move and do things that are like getting on with your fuckery. But if you could just kill the journalist, then how dictatorships work. Without getting into the details of like the Arab Spring and like the Shiite and Sunni history, which is also its own thing, like Saudi Arabia is like super unpredictable when it comes to America. And I think we really don't appreciate the long history and cultural and tribal effect and how all that intersects with religion, like how that works over there. Like, I don't think we get it. We see these buckets of like tribal, cultural, religious as like their own buckets, rather than the way that all this stuff overlaps, you know what I'm saying, to form a, not only a national, but an individual identity. Like, I don't think we get how that works. In the same way how I freely say cuz, but I just already told you I never gangbanged a day in my life. And I already told you I went to church, and I already told you I rap, and I already told you. I don't think you understand really how our identities overlap. Hence, critical race theory, intersectionality. I'm becoming a teacher right now. This ain't the point. All we knew about Saudi Arabia was, nigga, they got oil. And it's for sale. We got to make the calculus as to like how to jump in over there, because you jumping in some shit that's been going on for a long time. So recently, actually, this was under the Biden administration. They did their like full investigation as to like, OK, did the Crown Prince really call this hit? Was this really a hit, or was it not? We all have our antennas up. Again, worst kept secret. They be popping fools. But we can't prove it. Either way, it set up a situation. We supposed to be good with Turkey. And we supposed to be good with Saudi Arabia. I don't know what we... Hey, you just put me in a predicament, cuz. Like, you got to make a statement. If you don't make no statement, you're a punk. It's okay. You like... It's complicated. You either A, telling America... we could pop journalists. B, you telling Turkey, my support don't mean nothing. Or C, Saudi Arabia just punked you like, I dare you to say something. Wait, we good with both of y'all. But that's some bullshit. You just popped this fool. What the fuck do we do? Related situation is the drone strike that hit Qasem Soleimani. Qasem Soleimani was an OG from Iran that was on his way to meet with the Iraqi prime minister, right? Here's the thing, though. They hit him in Baghdad, right at the Baghdad International Airport, while he was on his way, supposedly, to meet with the prime minister in Baghdad. We popped him, shot up a neighborhood that we supposed to be cool with. We just shot the enemy in a neutral hood. You just popped this nigga on my porch? Bruh, like, do we understand the position we just put Iraq in? Because, like, you just, like, what am I supposed to do, dude? Like, who am I supposed to back? You done messed up the whole click situation. We was already talking about, like, trying to figure out making nukes and all this stuff, and you was getting all, America was getting all weird. Like, we had this situation with Obama, and now you don't like it, and then, so you want to change it? And if you Iraq, you like, look, maybe I'll just wait this out. Or Iran, maybe I'll just wait this out. Because y'all going to get a new president soon. I don't know. Why am I going to remake this whole deal that took us so long to make just for you to leave later? Like, and then you got the nerve to drop a drone strike in my hood? Bro, y'all got to go, man. If you run in the city, if you run in Baghdad, you like, yo, this America got to go. Y'all bugging, dude. You wild, cuz. If you had a problem with Qasem, pop him in his hood. I don't want nothing to do with this. You done thrown me in a mix. It's complicated trying to figure out, like, this stuff spill over to actual life. So, listen, foreign policy hard. It's hard to figure out how this stuff gets set up. So, I say all that to say this. When you seeing stories about ambassadors meeting with this people and trying to come up with sanctions, which we're going to talk about later, trying to figure out treaties and trade deals and stuff like that. This is what they're doing. These are OGs and old heads trying to figure out, okay, look, we got to rethink how this, every 4 to 6 years, we got to rethink how this stuff works. We got to reevaluate how the money flowing, right? And I need to know if shit go down, you going to jump in. Have you changed your mind? You going to jump in or not? It's like, it's hard, fool. I know I say all the time that politics really ain't that hard because it's just gang shit. But this part of gang shit is actually hard. You understand what I'm saying? But to actually do it, nigga, this is difficult. Because it's complicated. And if something go wrong, entire neighborhoods get bombed. You say the wrong word, nigga, Raytheon on their way. Like Robert say with the knife missiles. Which I don't even think they make them. I don't even think Raytheon. I think it's just like Raytheon's just sounds like X-Corp, you know what I'm saying? The bad corporation in any sort of comic book, you know what I'm saying? But shit is difficult. Next time you hear trade deals and foreign policy, just think, do I got a hood pass? Are y'all gonna jump in?
Get clicked up.
Y'all, this mug was recorded and edited by me, Propaganda, right here in East Los Boyle Heights, Los Angeles. Y'all can follow me at Prop Hip Hop on all the socials. You can follow the Hood Politics Pod itself at Hood Politics Pod, where we be trying to make takes on stuff that aren't really big enough for a whole episode, but definitely needs a little bit of clarity. This mug was scored, edited, mixed, and mastered by the one and only Headlights. Y'all go follow my dog, Matt Oswowski. I still don't know how to say his name. I'm glad he changed it to Headlights. Follow him on his socials at Headlights_music. Telling you, hear all these new other fly tracks this fool be making. And the theme music was done by the one and only Gold Tips, DJ Sean P. Y'all remember, every time you check in, if you understand the hood, you could understand politics. Shouts to iHeartMedia for making this happen.